The Asheville Prison Books Program is a locally based 501c3 nonprofit, going strong since 1999. APBP sends free books to inmates across the country. Donate, drop off your old books, or come to volunteer by emailing prisonbooks31@hotmail.com. Tax-deductible donations can be made by mailing a check written out to Asheville Prison Books, 267 North Lexington Avenue, Asheville, North Carolina, 28801, or by dropping cash or checks into the APBP collections jar at Downtown Books and News at the same address. You're listening to WSFM LP 103.3 in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm Bursa Goodness.
And I'm William Goodenough.
The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWA LP in Olympia, Washington, WCRS in Columbus, Ohio, and Berkeley Liberation Radio in Berkeley, California. The show will later be archived at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org. You can email us at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net with anything you want. And you can send us snail mail at The Final Straw, care of Asheville FM, 864 Haywood Road, Asheville, North Carolina, 28806. This show is brought to you by Firestorm Books and Coffee, located at 610 Haywood Road. Firestorm Books and Coffee is a worker-owned cooperative in Asheville specializing in offbeat, underground, and independent literature. Firestorm's full catalog of books and zines can be found online at firestorm.coop. This week we'll be featuring another episode that is mostly punk and metal from around the world that's been recently released. Next week, we will start back up with the interview shows, we promise. First off, I'd like to announce that there is a public meeting at the Federal Office of Surface Mining, a public hearing on a new rule to protect streams from mountaintop removal coal mining. It's going to be Tuesday, September 15th, 2015, from 5 to 9 p.m. Folks will gather around 3 p.m. This day before the hearing begins. It's going to be at the Mountain Empire Community College, 3441 Mountain Empire Road, Big Stone Gap, in the state of Virginia. And you'll have more info to come available at facebook.com/events and just searching for surface mining holding public hearing. Also upcoming in Asheville, the No New Animal Tour, and this is from the Firestorm folks. Sunday, September 6th at 1 p.m., Firestorm Books and Coffee, 610 Haywood Road. Quote, less than 8 months ago, a small but determined group of people wrote the words, quote, No New Animal Lab, unquote, in black paint across a flannel bedsheet. Although they were preparing late into the night, the full impact of their efforts would last well beyond. The following morning, the University of Washington Board of Regents prepared to approve the construction of an Animal Research and Care Facility, ARCF. This move came after a lawsuit against the Regents for hosting private dinner meetings in violation of Washington's Open Public Meetings Act. It was under this shroud of secrecy that the Regents developed and approved the ARCF contract with Skanska USA. As a hollow gesture towards accountability and transparency, UW decided to produce a sham revote to skirt public criticism. As the Regents prepared to approve project construction, the group unfurled the bedsheet banner and began disruption. That day marked the beginning of No New Animal Lab, a grassroots campaign to stop the University of Washington and construction giant Skanska USA from building a new underground animal lab that will expand the number of animals that the UW can torture and kill by thousands. Since then, the campaign has transformed from the first small disruption into a high-profile campaign that spans over a dozen cities, multiple countries, and two continents, and that employs a diversity of tactics, letter writing, petitions, public comment, office protests and disruptions, home protests, mass demonstrations, and direct actions. The campaign's dynamic tactics, expanding momentum, accumulating pressure, and radical foundations have awoken and inspired the animal liberation movement. Now, after the arrival of summer, No New Animal Lab campaign is launching a national tour to escalate pressure even further against the University of Washington and Skanska. The No New Animal Lab Tour will take the campaign across the U.S. with goals in mind to stop the lab and to build a movement. Through workshops and protests that will span the country, They plan to build a network, foster organizational skills and resources, and bring pressure to the University of Washington and Skanska like they've never seen before. The tour will end in Seattle with a second march on the University of Washington of hundreds of people. They plan to travel coast to coast, be taken to the streets to stop this lab from being built, and will build a grassroots movement for animal liberation. That'll be, again, at Firestorm Books and Cafe soon, hopefully at Internationalist Books in Durham coming up, or I'm sorry, in Carrboro coming up. The Incarcerated Worker Organizing Committee is now a standing committee of the IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, and as such, their officers will be elected this fall via referendum. They've grown to 576 members and need your support. They're looking for FWs to run, nominate others, and start local organizing groups, and otherwise get involved, especially those who have been incarcerated or with personal ties to the prison system. See the different officer positions available at InReach, Outreach, Media, Literature, Newsletter, Editor, and Fundraiser. You can contact IWOC at riseup.net with questions. Go ahead and spread the word. If anyone's curious, the IWOC, as we talked about in a recent story about organizing in Missouri among prisoners, is attempting to organize prisoners for work stoppages and strikes and other collective bargaining attempts to, I guess, get the goods with direct action from within the prison and supporting folks who are incarcerated from the outside. Next up, Unistoten Camp is on high alert. This is from the Earth First News via It's Going Down. And this is referring to a piece of land in Turtle Island in, in what's known as British Columbia. The Unistoten Camp has sent out a message letting their supporters know that they are on high alert and could use more help. Quote, Unistoten Camp and community currently remains at high alert. They have multiple sources of information that indicate towards police escalation and or other forced trespass. They will write this to inform networks that they are on high alert, and if you don't hear from them within 24 hours, it means that they are unable to get word out. You can let others know that they continue to peacefully assert their laws and jurisdiction on Unistoten Yinta. The Unistoten have maintained vigilance for a number of years against several pipeline projects slated to pass through their lands, carrying tar sands oil to the coast for export. Arguably the most environmentally destructive project in the world, the Alberta tar sands are destroying the boreal forest in order to perpetuate unsustainable fossil fuel development in Canada and around the world. The tar sands are also causing cancer and illness in First Nations communities, and the pipelines threaten to devastate native forests and fresh water systems, thus continuing the systemic genocide of First Nations in North America. To learn more about Solidarity, you can search for Unistoten Solidarity Brigade. An update on Sean Swain's current conditions, which you'll hear Sean's voice in just a moment. But so he's been transferred to Warren Correctional, and support folks haven't heard very much from him recently. Someone had a visit with him, and it became clear that his access to communication has been frustrating. It's been frustrated by a whole new set of obstacles. So he was transferred to Warren Correctional a couple weeks ago, which meant a downgrade in his security. Sean's transfer to a medium security was accompanied by a drop in security level from 4A to 3A. Ohio uses a security scale from 1 to 5, 1 being lowest security. Within each security, A status is a lower security level, whereas B status is a disciplinary level of security. Despite the security level drop to 3A, Sean is now being held in 3B in a unit at Warren with no indication of when he's going to be moved. 3B unit at Warren is heavily controlled by gangs, and membership is a requirement for phone access most of the time. Sean is generally a well-respected prisoner, both for his many years in prison and for his reputation as an anarchist poop starter. But he is in uncharted territory at a new prison among young wild folks who, unfortunately, tend to direct their anger and defiance at one another instead of the prison itself. Without J-Pay access, because it's out of order after being destroyed so many times by prisoners who don't use them anyway, Sean's method main method of communication is letters, and he's unable to... He's having difficulty communicating with his lawyer in a timely manner. Sean has sent kites, inner prison mail communication, to the administration about his move to 3A and gotten no specific indication of when he will be moved. Sean is requesting that folks call the prison and talk to Deputy Warden Robert Welch, who Sean says is a reasonable guy and may prove receptive to the requests. His number is, and get your pencils out, 513-932-3388. Extension 2005. That's 513-932-3388, extension 2005. It's important, though, that when talking to prison administrations, nobody says anything to turn negative attention towards the other inmates. Let's talk to the prison about their failure to transfer Sean to the unit he's supposed to be on and not focus on complaints on the actions of other inmates, such as gang control of the phones or destruction of JPEG kiosk. Let's remember who's the real enemy. Stuff you can say to Deputy Warden Robert Welch. 1. Sean is a level 3A prisoner and needs to be transferred to a 3A unit immediately. 2. Sean is trying to keep his head down and not risk his new level 3A status. His placement in level 3B unit puts him at risk of getting into trouble. He will be safer at 3A. And now a word from anarchist prisoner Sean Swain. What you say, what you say, what you say,
what? Record like a bomb! The Ohio Adult Parole Authority. It was started in the early 20th century after the Ohio Penitentiary caught fire and a lot of prisoners died. At its inception, the parole board was to act as a mechanism to reduce the prison population responsibly. It never seemed to do that. In its modern incarnation, the parole board has been rife with abuses and scandal. In its heyday in the 1990s, when every prisoner had to appear before the board due to indeterminate sentencing schemes, the parole board was at its worst. Then board chair Margaret Gee would routinely issue a prisoner a 5-year continuance of his sentence and make him an offer. He could keep the 5 years or trade them in for the penny trick. For however many of the pennies she dropped hit the floor when she let them go, the prisoner would do a year. If the prisoner opted for the pennies and caught all 10, he could go home. If he missed all 10, he'd end up with 10 years. So if the prisoner opted for the penny trick, Margaret G. would chuck the 10 pennies over her shoulder, and as they hit the floor, she'd say, 10 years, get out. On other occasions, parole board members would intentionally provoke a prisoner, even going so far as to throw books. There's a hole in the wall of one of the parole interview rooms at Mansfield Correctional from a book thrown at a prisoner named Pete, who was in my cell block at the time. He was paroled when he didn't react violently. The happy ending notwithstanding, I'm unaware of any criminal justice studies to support the efficacy of throwing books at prospective parolees. During that period, the parole board started the trend of issuing super flops. Someone sentenced to a term of 15 to 40 years, for example, would appear before the board after 10 years, and the parole board would continue his sentence for 20 or 30 years. The longest super flop I ever witnessed was 40 years. Think about that. If a guy committed a crime at age 18 and appeared before the parole board 10 years later, they were ordering him to come back for his next review at age 68. Those practices no longer occur, but only because the parole board changed its own rules on occasion in order to avoid losing lawsuits. They are the only agency in Ohio that has the authority relegated to it to write its own rules. Senators, representatives, governors, nobody will rein in the parole board's powers. They all come and go, but the parole board remains. Senator Jeff Johnson attempted to take them on, then ended up in federal prison and was replaced by pro-parole board former prosecutor Stephanie Tubbs Jones. At one time, the parole board was caught selling paroles, outright selling them. There was a big dust-up at Grafton Correctional. It would seem that the parole board's practice of handing out super flops created a lucrative market for selling paroles that no one could get otherwise. I'm not sure that the bribery practice has ever ended. When I prepared for my 2011 parole hearing, another prisoner we'll call Popcorn turned me on to an attorney who specialized in parole representation and friends collected $2,000 to pay her. I won't reveal her name, but her initials were Andrea Reno. I was one of roughly a dozen clients that Popcorn had collected for her, each one of us paying between $2,000 and $5,000, while Popcorn was paying her $10,000. All of us small fish were denied, but Popcorn, who had collected all of those clients for Andrea Reno and was taken up early and given a parole. It would almost seem that Andrea Reno was collecting all of that cash and Popcorn funneled it into her as a kind of outsourced agent for the parole board, and that her big money clients at the tops of the pyramid schemes all walked. Almost as if Andrea Reno was wheeling and dealing with the parole board. I have no evidence that she ever shared any of the funds with the parole board, but I also have no evidence that she didn't. In my own case, when I appeared before the parole board, I was suing former Chief Inspector Gary Croft. At the time that he jumped on the parole board and gave me 5 years, and Andrea Reno, my attorney, promised to challenge that obvious impropriety. He had clearly used his seat on the parole board to stick it to me for suing him. She never did anything. Hard to tell by what method the parole board is now taking bribes, but I see them again in July 2016, and I hope to be able to raise some funds. It would be good to be able to set up a parole board bribery fund at seanswain.org. Not sure how much I need to raise, but I think my initial goal should be to raise at least $20,000. Maybe set up something at Kickstarter and GoFundMe too. If anyone has any information on who their undercover outsourced bribery agent is these days, drop me a line and hook me up. I'm really tired of doing all this time that broke people do. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Warren Correctional Institution in Lebanon, Ohio. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at his new address by directing it to Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren CI, P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. President in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.
This is Paper and Steel by Ajax from their self-titled 7-inch, available from Katorga Works. Ajax is a punk project from London, UK.
We'll be right back.
Estupidez, coming up next, is a track by Escuro from the album Os Humanos e as Estrelas from Brazil. Following that, we'll hear Human Hater by Apathetics from Helsinki, Finland. The album's called My Life is Amazing, and it's from Bad Hair Life record label.
We'll be right back.
Exodust with No More Concessions off of their 2015 demo. This band is from Gainesville, Florida. Next up is Zero Sum Game by Anxiety Hammer from the album What Stands Between Us. Out on the label Curtain Fire, Anxiety Hammer is from Philadelphia. This is Chain Rank from the album Up Against the Wall. The track is called Social Climber, and next up we'll be hearing Occlude, Swallow, Conflagrant by They Ate Their Own God from Columbia, South Carolina. This is off of their untitled album from 2015. Right now we're hearing Antarct with Hollow Mirage of Hope off of the album Bastard Dawn. Coming up after this will be Flesh World with The Wild Animals of My Life off the album by the same title. We'll be right back. Lastly, this is Staring Problem with Species Forgotten from the 2015 album Long Winter. WSFMLP 103.3 in Asheville, North Carolina. This is The Final Straw, and I'm Bursa Goodness.
And I'm William Goodenough.
The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, KOWALP in Olympia, Washington, WCRS in Columbus, Ohio, and Berkeley Liberation Radio in Berkeley, California. Next up is Onward Through the Fog with DJ Jake, as we've said before, and stand by, rootin' tootin' journey through music.